In the practice principles, we begin caught in self-centered dream. In a way, there's a two-sided aspect to this, actually multi-sided, myriad sides, but I'll start with the two sides in the sense self-centeredness is revealed, is released by so-called being this moment, our experience. This moment, our experiencing, which is what we always are, who we always are, seems at first to be so-called internal, so-called internal in the sense that we think, oh, experience is inside this body, this bodily senses, bodily organs, bag of skin and bones, whatever way we talk about it. So in one sense, it seems that the antidote, the clarification for self-centeredness is in experiencing so-called my experience. And in a way, as a provisional perspective, that can be useful. It's important to be the experiencing bodily, be the hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, cognizing, which is, as you know, what the Buddha emphasizes as the practice that allows us to cease to building the self-centeredness of therefore, thereby, because of, which perpetuates suffering, harming, dukkha, difficulties in life, misperceptions, delusions. But on the other hand, we can get caught in another great delusion of self-centeredness, to believe this is about me inside this bag of skin and bones. So the counter to the caught in self-centeredness is being this universe, endless dimensions, life that we are, this life that we are that isn't inside as opposed to outside, but that all so-called outsides are exactly our life. All beings that we encounter are exactly our life, and our life practice are nothing but the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in many realms that appear as our life to nurture and support us, but also require us to nurture and support them in being one with all the Buddhas, being one with all of life, seeing that all of life, not just so-called living, but even the sounds of the stream, the rush of the wind, the clouds in the sky, all the beings and planets that we see and don't see, large and small, are nothing but our life. Nothing but this great Bodhisattva that manifests, this great Buddha that manifests as the life of the universe, which is our life. Being one with the great Buddha, Namu Daibo Sa, as Soen Roshi used to chant and encourage us to chant, Namu Daibo Sa, Namu Daibo Sa, is to see that this great Bodhisattva is all that we encounter all the time from morning to night. And if we think it's other than our own face that we're seeing, then we don't know who and what our life, our face is. So an important part of practice is in our appreciating all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all the myriad forms of our life that we encounter from morning to night, whether animate or inanimate, whether we recognize them or don't recognize them. And we can, what should I say, expose and release our self-centeredness in going beyond the ideas of self in our encounters with all our life, all of our life, whether it's the green in the trees, or now this season the red and the yellow and the bare branches, even the golden wind that reveals this body that is our life. If we don't see that as our practice opportunity, if we don't see that as the opportunity to embrace who we are, then we end up getting caught in all sorts of narrow and delusional places that cause suffering and harming. For us, for others. When we meet others, we're greeting and joining with the Bodhisattva that we, they, life together are. We are the opportunity to do the dance of life, the dance of this moment manifesting the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, when we start the morning service dedication, endless dimension, universe of life. It's revealed right here now. Not something far off. Right here now is endless dimension, universal life, universal Buddhas, universal Bodhisattva. That is ours to serve, polish, embody. We can't help but embody it, and yet we can blind ourselves to that through self-centered stories. So, self-centered delusions, self-centered likes and dislikes that bump up against how the myriad dances of the universe are manifesting today. And we do this in our daily practice. When we're sitting formally in Sesshin, we do it. When we're working, we do it. When we're walking, we do it. When we hear the traffic, we do it. All the different manifestations, some easily named, some mysterious, and we don't know how and where they come from, how and where they function, except to the extent that we discover them this moment. That's why when we bow, we're bowing with the whole universe. You can say, oh, that's something to say, but that's not really the way it is. It's me in here, in this room, in this place, in this body bowing. Well, we can say that. But if we say and believe that, then that becomes a hindrance. That becomes caught in self-centered dream. And the self-centered dream then is perpetuated in all sorts of things that we do believe almost automatically without noticing what and how we're doing that. You don't have to believe anything that I say, just as you don't have to believe anything that you say to yourself. Simply be present. Simply do what serves and nurtures practice, whether it's chanting or sitting or walking or reading or putting your palms together and bowing. When you bow, you only bow to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that are your life. You bow with them, whether they bow with you or not. When they bow with you, the two of you bow together. The two of you do the dance of bowing. The two of you, three of you, 10 of you. If we limit ourselves to what we see, then we'd be in trouble. Sure, we're limited by what we see. And yet, we all know that we operate far beyond what we see. Otherwise, much of what our life is right now wouldn't function. Computers wouldn't function since we can't see most of what goes on inside the life of the computer. Cell phones, cars, so on and so forth. Much of that we don't see. Some of it we can use devices to illuminate and see in certain ways. Certainly, the whole functioning of the myriad nerves, blood vessels, flora and fauna that inhabit our body and make it possible for me to speak, for you to hear, for you to see, for you to breathe, for me to sit, and so forth. So in a sense, our practice is so-called forgetting self. Forgetting self in myriad forms of self so that we can bow to whoever, whatever we meet. So we could be Namu Dai Bosa, being one with the great Bodhisattva, the great Buddha that manifests as the life of the universe for us right now. Not just us, but for all beings. With whom we share this dance of life. Some of them we know about. Some of them we get to notice if you go to the store and you do the dance of buying food in the store. Or you go to a farm and you do the dance with the farmer of getting some of their produce. Or some of their... You figure out what else you get from them. If you eat eggs, you get the eggs from them. If you get other products, fruits, vegetables, all sorts of things. The dance with all the beings who produce the car that you drive to, the clothes that you wear, and so forth. This is a dance of myriad beings forming the mandala of this great bodhisattva life that we have. Myriad beings that we forget about or we take for granted, or we want to pick and choose among them and say, these are bodhisattvas, those are, I don't know what they are, but they're not bodhisattvas. They're not included in this Daibodhisa, great bodhisattva, the endless dimension universal life that the service dedication begins. No, they're excluded, whoever they are. And you could figure out which exclusions you want to make. But of course, if I use the word, the web of life then ceases to function. The web of oxygen and carbon dioxide that makes it possible for us to breathe and be alive ceases to manifest. So how do we live in this unified universe where we have many siblings, brothers, sisters, whatever other way you want to term it, to with whom we share the Buddha life? Not just humans, as I said, not just so-called animate ones that we know about, even so-called inanimate ones that we don't know about, even the rain that gives us the water that we must drink in order to be alive and nurtures all the plants and nurtures all the animals and nurtures the clouds and the sea. So our practice is over and over in myriad ways and myriad realms during our day to come back to being one with the great bodhisattva in our actions, or noticing where we're putting our hands over our eyes and denying, restricting, disparaging aspects of this endless dimension life. And instead getting caught up in self-centeredness, not even knowing, of course, most of the time, because we take it for granted. It's a habit which has been established for a long time. And practice, formal practice, is our opportunity to, what should I say, release these habits, so that they cease to blind us, to limit us, to cause us to suffer and to do harm to self and others. That's this ongoing practice. That's the simple practice of sitting upright. That's the simple practice of breathing, being present. The practice of saying, please, thank you. The dance of driving down the highway, going into the supermarket, even the dance of going online. So our opportunity as we sit starts off sitting upright, being physically present, noticing where and how self-centeredness blinds us so that we can keep releasing that into the present moment of experiencing. experiencing inside, experiencing outside, experiencing into the known and into the unknown. Thank you all for your ongoing practice.